Today we'll be having a look at another new publication that lists all the shortwave transmissions of the world. But first, our presentation organiser Andrew Piper is going to list just a few frequencies of our very own. Andrew.
Well, I wish they were our very own, John, but of course we do share an awful lot of our frequencies with other international broadcasters. This particular frequency I'm going to talk about is 15.40 megahertz, and it's the daytime frequency for Southern Africa. At the beginning of this current schedule, that's at the end of September, the beginning of summer for Southern Africa, we'd put on a summer frequency pattern. That is, we'd put on more high frequencies. Higher frequencies tend to work better in the summer. And in particular, we put on 21.66 megahertz during the day. That's a regular summer frequency for the Southern Hemisphere. But it seemed we, or summer, or somebody, was a bit premature. It wasn't actually getting through. And shortwave conditions hadn't really settled into the summer regime.
So what are we doing? The usual trick of coming down the scale?
That's it. What we did was extend a lower frequency, put it on for longer in the day, and that lower frequency was the one I mentioned just now, 15.40 megahertz. We extended it from 11:30 to 12:45. But now we think that conditions have warmed up a bit, and they've changed enough to allow the higher frequencies to work. So 15.40 is now being cut back again. It'll close down at 11:30, and you've got these higher frequencies, I hope, getting through, crossing fingers. 21.66, 17.885, and also 15.42 megahertz. We've just beefed that one up a bit, so it should be a bit more powerful than it's been. And these are all available during the daylight hours in Southern Africa. I'm sorry about all this jiggling about, but it sometimes happens at the beginning of a schedule when conditions are changing rather quickly.
Right. A brief recap on those then, perhaps. Southern Africa, if you've tried 21.66 and been disappointed, try again now. And there's also 17.885 and 15.42, which we hope is going to be a little more powerful. Andrew, thank you very much. Well, now for that new publication. It's called Radio Database International. On the front cover, it says that it's a quick access guide to shortwave broadcasting schedules. Richard Lamley of the magazine Electronics and Wireless World has been looking through it. It seems a complete maze of charts to me, Richard. Can you explain them?
We've got two volumes here of this book. There's a thin one which covers the tropical radio bands, you know, the 75 metres and 120 metres and so on. The shortwave is all in a separate volume, and that's going up to over 26 megahertz. You probably find the layout of the charts quite familiar because it's a bit like the charts that you see on the back of London Calling. You know, you've got the frequencies listed down the page, and across the page you've got a bar showing what hours the station is on the air, starting from, you know, midnight at the left of the page and going through the day to midnight the next day on the right-hand side of the page.
And a very complicated key, too, gives you a lot of information, doesn't it?
There is a lot of information here, because obviously there's the bar which tells you that that frequency is on the air, but they've shaded it or hatched it in such a way as to indicate which language the station's operating in, and they indicate nine major languages like that, plus another code for the others. It tells you whether the station is jammed or not, because that's another thing this database has. It's compiled from actual monitoring observations and not just from the station schedules, so they can tell you when the station is likely to fade in or out. They can also tell you what language is on the air, and very interestingly, it also shows a lot of clandestine stations, which are quite interesting. Those don't ordinarily appear in the reference books. For example, I've got the shortwave volume open here at one of our familiar BBC frequencies, 12.095 megahertz. 12.095, the BBC has pretty much to itself. You can see here, Great Britain, BBC, multiple transmitter locations, and there's a bar for each target area that that frequency is directed to, and it gives the language, which is English in that case. But if you go down a channel, you can see the Syrian Broadcasting Service on 12.085.
Right next door.
And right next door, rather uneasily rubbing shoulders with them, is Col Israel on the next frequency down there. But if you go up one, we have a clandestine station in Asia. It says here, 1st of August Radio, and it's described here as a fake PLA rebel station. And it gives a location in the USSR, which is quite interesting. Now, you'll never find that in most other books.
Now, this is incredibly comprehensive, or at least it seems so to me. You say it's been done by monitoring actual broadcasts, which is obviously a great advantage, rather than just publicity from schedules from various organisations. How on earth are they going to update it?
Well, this information's all stored on a computer, and these charts that you see here are all computer printouts, and they will be able to update it just by typing extra material into the computer and producing a new printout. They've told us that they plan to issue new editions after a year or so, something like that. But you can get rather more frequent updates because they'll be broadcasting them on two shortwave stations, on Radio Canada International and on Swiss Radio. So if you want the very latest tips, that's where to go to.
Well, now a major item, of course, is cost. How expensive are these? As you say, there are two volumes which make up the whole work.
Well, the cost for the two editions together as a package, the shortwave edition and the tropical bands, is about $20 if you have them by air. That's quite expensive, but then it's very nicely produced and you do get an awful lot of information. And you can get the international edition separately if you like.
And the international edition would be about...
It's about $15.
Now, how does that compare with the old favourite, the old faithful, the World Radio and TV Handbook?
Well, I don't think it'll ever replace the World Radio TV Handbook, because one of the difficulties about frequency charts is, although they tell you exactly who's on every frequency when, and you could hardly better this book for that, they don't allow you to follow any particular radio station schedules. So, for example, if you want to hear Radio Armenia's news on the hour, you'll have to leaf through 200 pages or so of charts to find out exactly which frequency Radio Armenia is on at this particular time. The World Radio TV Handbook, on the other hand, lists all the stations in the world country by country and gives a table of their schedules, so you can see at once which frequency to tune to. With Radio Database, you can't do that.
Now, we mustn't forget the smaller publication, must we? The International Listening Guide, which I believe only lists programmes broadcast in English.
That's right. It's a much smaller guide, as you say. It's a little booklet, and it's quite cheap at the price, actually. It's $12 a year, and for that you get four editions, and that lists radio stations hour by hour, and also frequency by frequency, concentrates just on English. But if you're a general shortwave listener, you want to get the news from some country or other, it'll get you to the right frequency very quickly indeed.
Many of our really enthusiastic listeners will already have the World Radio and TV Handbook. Does the new Database International supplement it?
I think this is very much a technical publication. It's very much for the enthusiasts, because there is a great deal of technical information about frequencies and powers and all that kind of thing, which is not really of a lot of use to the average listener who just wants to tune into the news or entertainment show or whatever. But I think for the DXer, the kind of people that this book is really aimed at, it's going to be absolute heaven, because it's going to give them all the information they want in a very well presented and easy to follow form.
And very quickly too, I would guess.
Yes.
Lovely. Richard, thank you very much indeed. Well, we've been talking about Radio Database International. The cost for the two volumes, the international and the tropical bands, comes to about $20 if you want them sent by airmail, or about $15 by sea. The international volume on its own is about $15 by air and $12 by sea. Well, if you're interested, please, please do not send us any money. Just simply write to us stating your interest. We'll pass your letter straight on to the publisher, who, incidentally, is in the United States. So please write to us, no money, remember, to Waveguide, BBC, Bush House, London. And my thanks to Richard Lamley again. Goodbye.